Yeah, we're back with the Beacon Podcast. It's been a little long time, but we're coming back with it.
Against all society, school was propriety. Used to raise my hand, but the teacher kept ignoring me. More concerned with the fifth level than the fifth grade. Street fighter Mario Kart and streets of rage became the only place I learned to communicate. Now I'm all about these gold coins, selling all these power-ups, surviving off of mushrooms and only trying to level up. Yeah. Now I walk in the malls and I appear honest, but they don't really know that my Metal Gear Solid hit A, be a robber, hit X, go to college. Points are the same as long as you beat the game. Life may suck, but nothing stays the same. Deuce for life, flip a token, make a change. I'm deranged, the people that see things the same. I see in full color, I just choose to be green.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
You got Matt and Nick, and we are back.
We are so sorry for being gone for so long.
Thank you for downloading the Beacon Podcast. We're glad to have you on the show. Hope you're enjoying yourselves. Got a little red, gold, green to start off the show.
I recommend seeing those guys live.
Oh, yes. Tell me about that. Nick has seen these guys live.
That's the first time I heard of them was seeing them live. They opened for Pepper in Ventura. And I don't know if artists like this when people say this, but the album doesn't do them justice. Because I bought their album right when we seen them because we loved it.
Yeah.
But their live show was so much better than the album.
Those are the best bands.
Oh, God.
The best ones are the ones that are like, they're not studio musicians. They bring it live.
Yeah.
That's
so, I mean, I hope they're not offended by saying that the album... I mean, the album's good, don't get me wrong, but you just can't beat the live action.
It's like they have an energy or something live that you just can't translate.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they did it a little... their tempo was a little faster when they do it live.
Yeah.
Like, all the music.
Yeah, so it felt like it had some more energy to it.
Yeah, and yeah, they do. They are high energy. The singer, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but... Yeah, he was very high energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing him again if they come through California, wherever.
And also, this is the band that I put to the Beacon Podcast first commercial. I made like a little advertisement.
Wow.
And we posted it onto our Twitter. So if
we're coming up and shit.
Go ahead and check it out. It's just some amateur stuff, but I think it's cool. I put some cool quotes on there and yeah. So
it's good times.
I'm gonna fade these guys out.
Alrighty, let's get it on. So how you been, Matt? What's new with you, buddy?
I'm doing the summer thing, and it's like,
you look a lot tanner, bro. Since the last time I seen you, or redder.
I was in the
sun. I know what you want to call it.
I just got back from a vacation to Miami, and tomorrow's my first day back to work. After 2 weeks.
Yeah, man, you got a beard going and shit.
I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah,
I was like, this is good.
It looks comfortable. Once my face gets like that, I get a little like irritated. Like I shaved before I came over today, but
I like keep messing with it. And so me and Lindsay went out to dinner last night. She's like, "Stop playing with your beard." I'm like, "If you had one of these, you'd play with it too."
Exactly. Yeah, I used to despise shaving, but now I kind of like it. For Christmas, Zeke got those straight razor blades. I guess it's called a safety razor.
Yeah,
and that's been the best shaving of my life. I actually like shaving now.
It was awesome.
It works so fucking good, dude.
TSA jacked my blade.
Dicks.
Yeah, they're and they. It's funny because we're standing.
Because it was in your
line.
Man bag or something, and there you can't have that.
Yeah, so we're standing in line, and I'm like, I always get
not the whole thing, right? Just the razor inside.
Yeah. Well, he was going to take the whole thing. I'm like, hold on, razor part out of it. He jacked my shaving cream and my razor.
Because that shit's so fucking dangerous.
Yeah, I know. But you start arguing with them, and
you're a terrorist.
Yeah, they're going to start
fucking
messing with
cocksuckers. They just do it to be dicks, dude.
They swabbed my hand. They They flagged my bag. And I guess they flagged it because they saw that shaving cream. And they jacked on my keychain. I had like a little like light, but it does have like a little like knife on it. But it's almost like a bottle opener like size knife. So
how dare you criminal trying to shave on vacation? What the
At
fuck
least
are you
he
thinking?
Was nice, but it was like so weird. He has my bag out on the table and somebody else is going through my shit. He's searching my shit. He didn't never ask for my permission.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like it is a violation of your Fourth Amendment.
Absolutely.
Rights.
But we all just try to be polite and take it, you know,
to feel comfortable in your effects, your things with, and to be searched without a warrant. That's That's against the Constitution. But we just that's let why that shit's it. In there. And yeah, we just let him.
Patriot Act.
Yeah. So, yeah, but he was cool about it. Like, he was joking around with me. I was like, yeah, whatever. Shave some shaving. I'll grow a beard, you know. But one of these days, if I'm just flying for, like, not an important reason, you know, like I don't have a bunch of money out on a vacation, I'm just going to start messing with him back.
Being dicks. You know, I mean, they find little shit like that, but they do test runs, and they find people get guns across all the time. There's a huge failure rate on TSA.
Yeah, the test run I heard was like they have like a 90-something fail rate. Like
exactly.
90-something percent of weapons.
Yeah.
And I don't know what was involved. It might have been shit over 3 ounces or whatever involved in it. Or I have no idea. But yeah. So way to go. How many hundreds of billions a year do we now spend on Department of Homeland Security?
And it's not doing shit.
No, people are more afraid than ever too. They're like, they're coming through the borders. They're gonna bomb us. And I don't know, you know, something might happen, but I don't want to live my life in fear.
No, I absolutely don't, dude.
Yeah, let me carry a gun to defend myself, and you know, let the pieces fall where they may.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at.
Yeah, you know what I've been coming across lately that I haven't seen in a long time is door-to-door salesmen. That's been kind of popular in my neighborhood now. Well, only twice, but in the
yours
last week.
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well,
Nick just moved, too.
Yeah, I recently moved. That's what part of the delay in the show. I was moving and fucking painting, and then you were on vacation, and
yeah,
you know, all that shit. But the ADT salesman came by, and you wanted to put a post, you know, if I could put this sign in your yard, you'll get a discount, and then we'll give you, it was this whole thing, and I wasn't really in the mood to hear his whole spiel, and he goes, you know, you got to be safe, dude. I go, I got guns, bro. I feel pretty good. You know?
Yeah, I'm good.
And not only that, I mean, I always keep the baseball bat next to the door anyway, you know, but
yeah,
shit could happen. People want to get in, they're going to get in, but, you know.
I was actually had my house while I was asleep. Oh, okay, so this is an interesting story. The kid next door, I've caught him, like, messing with, I've had to call the cops on him twice. The first time, I was taking a nap, and I heard, like, these plinks. And I'm like, where's that coming from in my house? So I'm like looking around, and it's coming from my kitchen window. So I stand up on the counter. So I look at the kitchen window, and it has two like holes in it. And
like
I'm like,
BB
holy shit. So I stand up on the counter, and I look at where out of the window at my neighbor's yard. And the kid's in the backyard with a BB gun. And I'm looking down the barrel of the BB gun. He has it aimed at my window. I'm like, holy shit. So I call the police. They arrest him. He gets, convicted or whatever and tried for whatever they do. But not too long later, I was doing the same thing, napping. I used to have like a job that where I was up all night.
Strange hours and stuff.
Yeah. And so I'd have to nap. And so I'm napping and I hear a knock on the door. And it kind of wakes me up and I'm like, oh, because I live like in a newer neighborhood like you now. And so there's a lot of solicitors.
Yeah.
And
they know you guys, you just bought that house and man, they're
all
over.
They know
you.
They want to sell you like shit.
Yeah.
And so so I don't answer it. I'm like, ah, it's just a solicitor. And then I wait for a little bit and I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'm up now. So I get up and then I just go to like look out. Sometimes I just look out my peephole. Do you do that?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just look out just to.
Yeah. It might be a religious person, or it could be a salesman.
No. Sometimes I'll just look out, like, if I'm doing stuff around the house.
Just randomly?
I'll look out windows and stuff.
The world looks so much different, like, through the peephole. I wish I had, like,
metaphor.
Peephole glasses and walk around and be like, I'm in this weird sphere of life.
I'm like, help.
Like, I'm in a fishbowl or something.
So, and I look at one of my windows, and there's a figure with a hammer and a chisel hammering it into, I can see the sun's behind it, and I can see his silhouette trying to break in the window.
And is he all thugged out with a ski mask?
All I can see is that. I can see a hammer, a chisel. I have no idea what else he's got
and
going
you
on.
You can hear him, obviously.
Yeah, probably, and I'm like, holy shit.
It's the same kid?
At that time, I didn't have any guns.
Oh,
gotcha. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of a scary, vulnerable feeling. So I called 911, and while I'm on the phone with them, he actually gets the latch open, opens the window, and starts coming in the blinds. And so I'm like, I got to do something. So I'm like, why don't I just scare the shit out of him? So
beat
I run over there. Well, I don't know if they got a weapon or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I just got to scare the shit out of him. and I had already, units were already on the way. I was still on the phone with 911. And so I rip open the blinds and I'm like, argh! I make as much noise as I can. Cause if I can get the offensive factor, I can at least buy myself a few seconds to mm-hmm. think and grab or punch whatever I gotta, you know. And so I did that, and it's the little kid from next door, and I'm like, what the fuck?
The BB gun guy.
I'm like, get back over the wall.
And how old is he?
He was probably like,
a kid.
Yeah, he's probably like 14 or something.
Okay.
And I was like, get back over the wall, wait at your house, the cops are coming, you're getting arrested. So 911 is on the phone with me, and they go, all right, so the problem is resolved. I'm like, no, I still need you to send out units, you know. I'm sick of this kid, like, messing with my house, you know.
Yeah.
And
I wonder what he was after.
I think he's probably, like, a pothead, and he was looking for some stuff he could sell to get some dough just to buy some weed.
Because he didn't have a job. And
yeah, at that age, you know.
The devil's lettuce.
Yep. It'll and yours. And yours. So, long story short, he violated his parole. He got carried off to jail. Where am I going with this story, dude? We were going somewhere. What were we talking about before that?
Security, like safety.
Oh, yeah.
Feeling secure, yeah.
Yeah, so now I've armed myself, like, very, very well.
But what's your relationship with his parents like? I mean, is your next door neighbor? Do you ever?
Yeah. Well,
hey, Jimbo, how's it going over
after
there?
After the
man?
First thing, I was like, yeah, no big deal. You know, kids will be kids. And then after the second one, I was like, you really need to get your kid on hold. Like, he was going to bust in my house, you know?
Yeah.
If I had a gun, like, and I didn't know it was him, he could have gotten shot. And all the cops, oh, that's where I was going with it. So the cop that Back came over, track. One of the cops that came over, he's like, you know what you got to do? Is you got to cut PVC pipes and you got to put them in all your windowsills.
That's what I did.
He said, I've never been in a house that got broken into that has that shit done.
Yeah, I've done it to all my windows.
Yeah.
Except for the windows that slide up and down.
Oh, well, yeah.
But you can still do it. But
yeah. So I did that. And so even if I'm asleep, I'm like, I got plenty of warning if somebody comes in. They have to loudly break something to get into my
house. Can we talk about some of the stuff you do at your house just because we're on the topic? You know, like your little beeper thing that goes off and
your
door lock thing. So when you walk up to Matt's house, he has like a sensor and it beeps probably about, 12 feet before someone even gets to the door.
Yeah.
So, which is cool. So it lets you know before the doorbell even rings or a knock or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's nothing annoying. It's just like
a chime. I just get a ping.
And you got that online?
Walking up. Yeah. I got it on Amazon. And I also have one on the side yard. So if there's any access into the backyard.
I'm going to totally do that, man.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cheap.
And then you have the door locker, so nobody can kick your door in.
Yeah, it's called a door sentinel, and it's a, you can also get that online.
I was looking at those.
It's a
They have cheap. All kinds of crazy shit.
It kind of reminds, remember the club back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of reminds me of that.
The club for your steering wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's like an adjustable length thing, and you just prop your door open with it.
It's a kicker. You just put up against your doorknob. Yeah.
Yep. And even, you don't really know where things are headed, you know, nowadays.
Yeah.
And I don't want anything busting in that door without giving me ample warning.
Well, home invasion robberies are pretty common, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just easy to just kick the door in and you're in there.
Dude, those doors nowadays with the wooden jams, they're weak.
Yeah.
These things are weak. There are kits online that you can buy, like reinforcement kits that are pretty cool, too. But that door sentinels does the same thing.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, if somebody starts kicking it, thinking it's going to come in, and then it's offering that much resistance, they're like, holy shit. Now this dude inside now has a chance to grab his gun. I'm getting the fuck out of here. That's the idea, is to give yourself enough warning.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky I have a little dog. It's like a chihuahua. And that fucker barks at everything, man. Like, you know, and she could judge like people. It's weird.
Yeah.
But
she can judge people.
I swear she does, dude.
I think dogs pretty much can.
Like, she can sense it.
Yeah. There's some other shit going on, you know? Like, there's some extrasensory shit going on. The science is not done on the human body. I think we're still discovering stuff all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just human bodies, but animals, too.
Just, life in general.
Yeah.
But so I've been wanting to shop for a couple new guns. The gun I have now, I bought from my uncle, and it's... Like, I'm left-handed, and it's just a Ruger 9mm, and it's a nice gun and everything, but every time I load it, I got to switch hands. you know, to get the clip out.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind
of
annoying.
That is.
But he wants to buy it back anyway, and then I could buy another, you know, I got another revolver and a shotgun, but
yeah.
I want to get like a pistol grip pump, just short shotgun, just for home protection use.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that is the best for home use.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say that it'd be best with something like that, because it's kind of big and clunky, to have some, like, techniques. Like, I'd like to go learn some like indoor shotgun techniques.
Yeah, so you're not sticking the barrel out around the corner.
Yeah, you're not hitting it on like goofy with it. Like, you've got like they've actually got like shotgun training classes.
Well, I'm not afraid of giving out a warning shot. Like,
that's true.
But can you imagine shooting a gun in your house? Like, I've gone shooting, but it's always outside.
Yeah.
Well, for your bachelor party, we shot in Vegas.
Yeah, that
but
was
that was in a you know.
And we went to an automatic weapon.
It was the best.
We were shooting machine guns.
That was almost better than a strip club, dude. We're shooting a fully automatic machine gun, dude.
Yeah, it was like dark.
God.
And remember, we were like yelling shit, like "Shut that fucking dog up!"
Shut the dog. Yeah, but cool. But dude, imagine like in your house, hearing protection, just boom, 12 gauge going off.
That's a lot.
It'll be like totally like that part in Saving Private Ryan where it's like the bombs go down and it's all boom, quiet, and then the sound comes back in.
The sound just like the percussion wave.
Yeah.
So
it comes back and it's gonna be like the old lady fucking, oh my god, you know, freaking out, the dog freaking out,
Ukrainian or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
But hopefully it never gets to that point. I mean, but like we're saying, I don't live in fear.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you,
but like we said, freedom comes with responsibility.
Yeah.
And you understand what the world is, and you know there's unfortunately until this show becomes a worldwide phenomenon, there's still be douchebags in the world.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking, but our quest on this show, one of our slogans is the quest to end douchebaggery.
Yeah.
So, until that's really gotten out to everybody that can't be douchebags to other people, you still have to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm. But that being said, even though I do own guns, if something seems weird, I always just grab the baseball bat first. You don't gotta load it, and it's just fucking on, dude.
And it's there.
And I always have one laying around. And
I feel like chances are, if somebody's breaking into my house, it's not a muscle man MMA trained, like...
Yeah, it's not Rampage,
like
Jackson.
Some dude that doesn't give a fuck about anything other than...
It's probably a tweaker.
Drug addict.
It's probably a tweaker.
Yeah.
And they're not that strong. They're scrappy.
I mean, they might be on something that gives them some
PCP.
Crazy-ass strength. Be clawing at your face or something with their fingernails.
Yeah.
Ah, damn.
And I'm kind of honest with myself. Like, okay, the gun's not loaded, but I have a loaded clip next to it. So all I got to do is grab it, clip it, and I'm on, right? I do have the revolver. I would cut
the gun's not the clip's not in it.
No, I have it on the side.
What's your thoughts there? Why is that?
I just don't want to. You know, if I have my cousins over, their young kids, like going through my not that they ever would go through my shit, but
you'd hate for something to happen.
Yeah, dude, I just a little safer, I think.
Yeah,
but
man, my shit is all like ready to go,
loaded
in a second.
Yeah,
and it's like dispersed like throughout the house, so. Wherever I'm at, it's like...
There's a weapon there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's a weapon in here?
No, not actually.
Oh,
no.
Damn. I don't feel
damn
safe.
Damn it, I don't feel safe.
At first, I didn't feel safe, and now I really don't feel safe.
We could throw one of these Thomas Jefferson dolls at him.
Oh, yeah.
Get him.
Well, that's like one of my coworkers. He always has a pencil. He always has a pencil with him. And he goes, dude, I'll fucking stab motherfucker in the neck with a pencil. Like. Everywhere he goes. Like, we go out to sushi, and he has like his mechanical pencil.
Holy shit.
And he goes, dude, that's a weapon, dude.
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting in a fight or somebody steals your shit and he shows me how he holds it and whack.
Now, I feel like it'd jam into his hand.
Ay. No, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of breaking in, I used to... I lived in a ghetto for a while one time. Like when I was just 21, I believe. I moved out of these nicer condos with some roommates I had with, you know, Jason. Smiley
mm-hmm.
Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, you want to talk about a story... This guy, when he was in high school, he lived kind of in the ghetto, but not that bad, you know?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and yep. He was playing basketball with his buddies at the park, and, you know, his friends would come and go in the house. Like, they were just welcome to come and go, use the bathroom, you know, and his parents are used to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're out there playing basketball, and he was at the park down the street or whatever, and his mom and dad were home, his sister, and... His mom remembers seeing somebody just walk through the house, and she just thought it was one of his buddies going to use the bathroom and going back out or whatever. Well, it was a home invasion robbery, and they went in with ball peen hammers.
Damn.
And took out his mom, his dad.
With ball peen hammers.
Yeah, knocked him out.
Out with that.
Yeah, and then they just laid him on the ground bleeding, right? So Jason comes home and he's
A ball peen hammer is probably worse than something with a big surface area.
Dude.
Because that thing could sink into a skull. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But so his sister got it. His dad got it. Well, it's his stepdad, but it doesn't matter. And then his mom, right? And they're all just
laying.
When
you say got it, you mean like whacked
in the hammer.
Head.
Yeah, knocked out and unconscious.
Damn.
Who knows? They might have taken a couple shots. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so there's a few guys in there. And you know how we're talking about that sense, like the dog sensed something was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And Jason walks up. He's got his basketball, and he just sensed something. Like a door was just kind of ajar. Like, that's weird. And he walks in and sees his family on the ground bleeding out.
No way.
Yeah. And they're all just like out. And he goes, fuck it. Well,
and he doesn't know there's not somebody still in there.
Yeah, he doesn't know. Well, somebody runs up and clocks him. Bop!
Clocks Jason?
Yeah.
What
with the hammer. With the ball peen hammer.
Damn.
Knocks him out.
And we're talking about a guy that we would throw parties, and this guy used to break beer bottles over his head. He'd get a crowd
around.
It's
probably a bad idea. This, you know, he would do that after the fact he's been hit with a ball peen hammer. You know? He's a crazy fucker. Okay. But so, and this is his story. You know, I wasn't there to live it, but you know, I've heard him tell it several times, and it's always the same. And it just creeps me out. You know?
So he sees his family, and this dude cracks him.
And can you imagine? Yeah, so he gets knocked out. Bam. He goes down. Comes
well,
to.
Dude, you get into a house with the door open, you got to be like a little like situationally aware, right?
Yeah, I think he just went to his mom and dad and then, you know, like, oh my God, check on him. You think the worst, obviously.
Yeah.
And then he gets it. But then he comes to, and I think one of his family members was already kind of awakened, you know,
mm-hmm.
and called the cops or whatever. And Jason just comes to, he comes, gets his consciousness back and just grabs his guns and starts walking down the street with them, loads them. I'm going to find these fuckers.
Yeah.
And so they caught the guys, long story.
I mean, would he have just shot them?
Oh, absolutely. In the middle of the street, I guarantee you that he's a crazy fucker, man.
Yeah.
And then guess what? You're going to jail now.
Yeah.
Because you're not in your house.
Now you're the aggressor.
But so anyways, the guys went to jail for a little, I can't remember how much time it was, but right when they were coming out, so Jason doesn't tell me the story until him and I are roommates in this ghetto apartment over there by the college.
Mm-hmm.
And but we never had problems with our neighbors or nothing like that. You know, even though it was ghetto, it was a ghetto apartment, everyone was cool, you know. So we were partying, having a bunch of friends over one time, and I think I just got shit-faced and I passed out. But everybody else was going out to go out to the bars or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And where Jason's room was, there was like a little return wall that would kind of block the window and like some shrubs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they came home and some shit was moved around. And I didn't know this until they got home later on. But you could see where the window was open and they walked on his bed and they were in the house.
You think then they identified you and jammed out?
Yeah, they said, oh shit, someone's here. But I was passed out. They could have fucking
done anything.
Tied me up or fucking
yep.
hit me or whatever. But and so they bailed out, right? So this is at the same time, because I guess when you get a home invasion robbery and somebody goes to jail, they let his mom know, hey, those guys that went to jail for hitting you guys and invading your house, they're getting out soon. They got out that month.
Because
they were looking
like
for
retribution.
And so what they exactly. And they did, dude. That was those guys. I guarantee it was. They were looking for Jason. I don't know
why.
How,
like, why are you, they're mad at him for pressing charges
for getting
whacked over the head and knocked out?
I guess, dude. Like, finish the job. I don't know, dude. And so he was my roommate. I had another roommate, Robbie, who has a shitload of fucking guns. And I was just like, fuck it, dude. I'm just gonna grab the baseball bat, dude. You know. But so we would take turns staying up at night, and there was just
for a while,
yeah.
Certain amount of time. Just because you were afraid something was going to happen.
Yeah, because we thought they were going to come back.
Did they think about putting a patrol on you guys or something?
No, we didn't call the cops. You know, I've never called the cops. I've never called 911 ever. But so sure as shit, dude, one night, you know, we're staying up and, you know, it would take turns. A guy would stay up, whatever. And then once that's in your mind, it's hard to sleep anyway.
Yeah.
But fucking some guys came up to the window again. But Robbie jumped the gun. Like, he grabbed the shotgun, and then you hear him coming out of the bushes and jumping the car, and then I can remember the car coming back. But that car came back, like, several times.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was the same
That's
exhaust.
That's scary, man. You don't want to feel vulnerable inside your house,
yeah.
You know? Especially for only defending yourself. It's not like you guys did anything wrong at any point, you know?
But the thing that's crazy is, you know, they have lawyers that are going to try to get them less time or whatever. And like, they're obviously guilty and everything. Mm-hmm. Do horrible shit. For example, another friend of mine, another old roommate of mine, he was carjacked and he got stabbed. And it was like a holiday. I forget what holiday it was. I think it was like either Easter. I think it was Easter. And he didn't know the guy, but he knew him through other people. Like, he was like familiar with him through other friends, right? So the guy goes, "Hey, man, hey, Jamie, can you give me a ride home?" And this guy, he goes, "Yeah, sure, I guess, you know." So he's driving around, but the guy had no direction. He just kept driving him farther, farther. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, 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 left on this street, you know." And he kind of seemed shady. And the guy goes, "Yeah, so that's the house." And he kept trying to get his attention diverted, right? He goes, "Yeah, that's a cool house right there, right there." And then as soon as Jamie turns his head and looks, he felt like he was getting punched. Pop, pop, pop. But the dude was stabbing him with a steak knife. Whack, whack, whack. So anyways,
he felt like he was getting punched, though.
Yeah, but you don't feel the stabbing at first.
You don't, huh?
He just felt like he was getting punched, but then it feels hot. And he goes, then you feel the heat coming, but it's like the blood and stuff. You know,
God,
the tore up
damn
insides and everything. And
I never knew that. I just learned something.
Yeah, he said at first he didn't feel like the pain of getting cut. It was just like, because, you know, he's hitting you like, wah, wah, you know, the bottom of his fist is like hammer fisting you.
Yeah, you just know you're getting hit.
Yeah,
you just
something feel the strange. Thud. Yeah, and then he goes, then it gets hot. All the puncture wounds feel
where
hot.
Where were these punctures at?
In his lower gut right here.
In the abdomen?
In his
the
abdomen.
Front side,
yeah.
Or flank?
I believe it's like in the front, because like if you're in the driver's seat, the guy, and you turn your head, the guy just pluh, pluh, in your gut, you know? And so he, Jamie's like, oh, you know, getting fucked up. And then the dude just opens the door, pushes Jamie out, and takes his car and bails.
Well, dude, at least he only did that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if he really wanted him dead, he just slit his throat.
Yeah, he just wanted the car. He just wanted to steal the car. And so here's Jamie, and he says he was wearing a UCLA Bruins sweater. He remembers it. And he just, you know, he's weak from getting stabbed and bleeding out. And
he was weak instantly?
Not instantly, but just, I think all his adrenaline was pumping. He just ran up to the first house he went to, and he said he didn't even knock. He just kicked the door in because he thought the guy was, he didn't know. I think he thought the guy was going to come after him.
Yeah.
And by that time, he says he remembers kicking the door in, like just opening this door and running to this random person's house. And it's a whole family eating their holiday food or whatever, right?
Damn.
And there are people, he remembers, he said, this is the last thing he remembers. Some screaming, obviously, and there's some commotion. And then he just faded out. Zoop, poof. And passed out, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, they go to court, and his lawyer tried to give him less time. And this, the judge was almost cool with it. He goes, well,
wait, whose lawyer?
The guy who stabbed him.
Okay. The defendant's lawyer tried to get him less time.
Because guess why? Because he didn't hit a vital organ. Like, he's a fucking surgeon just stabbing randomly. Like, he knows where he's stabbing.
So that's not attempted
murder. To this day, Jamie has fucked up guts and, like, shit's weird and stuff.
Yeah.
Because he has scar tissue in his guts.
Yeah.
And I guess his dad literally jumped over the fucking, you know, like the little courtroom wall, and they had to take him out. Like, he was going to fucking fight the lawyer. His dad flipped out.
Damn.
It's like, fuck you, and all this commotion in the court. Which
he's
going to cool.
fight the lawyer.
Yeah, because the lawyer's that fucking Weasley dick. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to get you less time because, you know,
man,
he didn't hit a vital
organ. To be a lawyer, it'd be tough.
Yeah, because you have the right to an attorney, but.
Yeah, and a lot of them are public defenders, because a lot of people, they can't. That guy, if he just wanted the car. I mean, it's always relates back to drugs. Mm-hmm. Usually always relates back to drugs. These people need money because they're addicted to drugs, and drugs are illegal. So, you know, they have to go through these shady means to get it.
Instead of just being buying drugs, or you could get them.
If they were legal, like it was alcohol, people wouldn't have to go through all this shady shit to try to get them.
Yeah.
You know?
And there'd be less crime.
Oh, dude, way less. Way less.
Yep.
We wouldn't be spending so much money to incarcerate just people that want to put a substance in their own body. Like, why does government think it's okay to tell somebody what they can and can't do inside their house to their own body?
Yeah.
You know,
or even if you wanted a business, like, hey, come over to my place, we'll do some acid. You know, like an acid bar or a weed bar.
If you're not hurting anybody else,
no.
You know, the people are, you know, something like that, though, you might want to have people like sign like a little contract or something, you know, but.
Yeah, acid was a bad example, because I would never do acid, bro.
Yeah.
I've never done it. I'd have no idea.
Or I'd like LSD, to actually rebuttal one of the things on a previous podcast that we said.
It said
that I'm actually would like to do mushrooms, because a lot of the shamans and that kind of stuff, like, it's like a consciousness expanding.
I heard it's pretty awesome.
I would like to officially take that back.
And not do mushrooms?
Yeah, the more I study it now, the more I'm like, you know what? I'm a happy guy. And I'm good. Like, I don't need to do that. You know?
I just drink booze.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Yeah, I'm cool.
But I don't really care if anybody else does whatever they do. But
just more of the stuff I studied, too. I'm like, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure about it.
Yeah.
So I'd like to.
What's that shit that's
like,
it's a chemical in your brain and you could actually take it and.
It's DMT. DMT.
Yeah.
Dimethyltryptamine. And it's the active ingredient in like ayahuasca. So the shamans in like the Peruvian rainforests, the priests, they find all these different roots and plants and they combine them in a certain way. I don't know the exact brew. Mm-hmm. But it has something to do with
those. Like, must be the coolest priests I've ever heard of.
Well, what they do, so they mix this brew up, and when you take a drink, it gives you like a 4-hour DMT trip, and it's called ayahuasca.
Wow!
And it gives you like this 4-hour trip where apparently, if you take DMT straight up, it's very intense, very short, like a minute or two long, and crazy. This ayahuasca takes you to the same place, but because it goes through the digestive system, not through your vein, your vasculatory system, it brings you there very slowly and lets your kind of brain go with it, and then it takes you out of it very slowly as well.
Whoa.
And so the shamans also, they guide you through the experience. It's like the same thing the Indians did with peyote in their religious rites.
Well, I heard it's like you're like super alert and...
Well, you and what a lot of the theories are is that it opens up a gland inside your brain called the pineal gland.
That's right. Okay.
The pineal gland is what some of the ancients referred to as your third eye, and that it actually is built like an eye. Like it has a lot of the same features of an eye. It has like a sclera, a lens, this kind of stuff, and it's like a little eyeball inside of your head. But
that's amazing. Like, so they've like gone into cadavers and cut this out and seen that, like,
yeah,
seen this. Wow,
this is called the pineal gland.
Sounds awesome.
And pineal, it's like shaped like a pine cone. And I think it was either Nietzsche or Descartes that said that was the seat of the soul right there.
Hmm.
And you'll see a lot of ancient religious symbolism. Talking about this, you see all of your ancient pharaohs and they've got a snake coming out of their forehead. That's why.
Oh, wow.
Because it's talking about opening. So this third eye, we're getting into some shit here. This is where I want to eventually take the podcast into, like, the mystery schools and that kind of stuff. Mm. But
and how to do drugs.
Well, they do. But I think it's interesting to study, you know. But they say that this eye opens and you have access into, cause all we really,
different consciousness. Almost.
Well, all we can really feel and know is what we have access to with our five senses of this reality. But we know there's more than that because we have tools that pick up magnetism and electromagnetism, all this different stuff. This eye opens and apparently you get access into, like, apparently, I don't know,
everything,
but apparently
in the world.
You get not I don't know everything, but apparently you get access to at least a, like, spiritual realm.
Wow.
And you see a bunch of, like, stuff, and so these people go on these...
I absolutely want to do that.
These people go on these...
Where would you want to be? Like, the beach, or would you want to... Be in a jungle?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't know. But
I'd want to be around animals.
Well, because I personally am Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I view that religion as counter to, like, what Jesus taught. That,
yeah, I don't care about the religion. I think that, you know, the DMT is cool.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The idea of what it could do to you.
If there is such thing as a soul, like, I don't want to fuck it up by, like, cheating, almost.
But don't you believe that God put that chemical here for you to enjoy it?
Well, I don't know. Well, that's
maybe that's funny, God, like, helping you out.
Remember how I said they mix the roots and all the berries and stuff? So there's a story in the Bible where, and it could just be metaphor, or it could be literal or figurative, who knows? But it said that there is a rebellion in the heavens, and the angels were cast out of heaven down to the earth, and they taught mankind a bunch of shit. And they go into like what angels taught the wearing of makeup to women to beautify themselves. They taught the mixing of roots, and that's what the mixing of roots was, and that was the one.
But what's medicine?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how about we take a little break now?
Let's get some tunes.
So anyways, opens the third eye, and people claim to have access then to like another realm. And that's like really? Your LSDs kind of will do like a similar thing. Your acid, it's supposed to like that psychedelics, that's what psychedelics are.
I heard mushrooms are pretty cool.
Because people say, I see all these crazy colors, you know, kind of stuff.
A buddy of mine, I guess I shouldn't say his name. But,
I've never done one because I talk about it like like I'm ignorant of it.
Yeah. It's just interesting. But like a friend of mine, he went to Amsterdam a few years ago, and he bought mushrooms just like from a counter, over the counter, and they have it. It's like weak, medium, strong, this and that. Mm-hmm. And he went for the medium. And he said he went back to his hotel, put in some headphones, and ate his mushrooms. And he said it was awesome. Listened to some music, and he said it was just so awesome. Just the feelings. And
yeah, I mean, I've got buddies, then they're like, you got to do this, dude. And they especially say me, because I study it, and they're like, you have to do this. You have to.
And you have a lot going on in your brain. Like,
yeah.
But are you afraid of opening up a door in your brain that you just don't want to?
I kind of do. Like,
especially with acid or something. But
I almost feel like, at least like for me, I feel like what got me to where I'm at now is following the teachings of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like I'm not trying to be like
yeah,
you know, whatever,
selling
like,
religion or whatever.
Yeah. But for me personally, that just helped me out a lot. And I think that some of his warnings were like against like trying to get access into the heavens without like earning it.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying that's just almost stuffing like something in your own brain, you know?
Yeah, I just don't know. And for me, if I don't know, I'm like, you know what? I'm cool. Like, I get live a happy life. I don't know. I don't know if I want to.
I'm so glad I'm an atheist, because it's just, I think about, I would just do shrooms and watch porn and probably beat off. I mean, that's the difference in my day. It's like, I could just do shrooms and beat off, or I could just regularly watch porn and beat off.
I've got a great song to do a break to, then.
All right, man. Yeah, that's right. We were taking a break.
Okay.
We'll be back with the Beacon Podcast with more great humorous slants on life and shit.
And we are also going to get to some subjects, I swear.
We will.
Okay. Love you guys.
And they say a good man never walks away. But I've yet to see the good one stay. With all these people telling me just what to do and say, I think that it'd be best I was on my way. Never had a problem being alone. Locking myself in, smashing my phone. And I won't even think about the distance that has grown. Treat all of my friends I once called my own. Because it doesn't exist. The world day we're all gonna die. Hello, I'm gonna meet you right here on the inside. I just wanna get high. I just wanna get high. Play my song.
Didn't you just say that? You just said that. We couldn't have planned it any better. The reason we have this is because we actually plan on getting into... Hold on, one second. The reason we actually had this on our cart to play today is because our intentions are to actually get into our second episode of the drug war material, which we've kept saying that we're going to get into, but I actually think we're going to today. Nick, let's get into some of this other stuff. Let's get into some news. What's been going on in the news right now?
Yeah, since the last time we've done a show, it's been a while. 4th of July has gone by. I mean, Bruce Jenner's not a Bruce anymore.
And, let's talk about the Bruce Jenner thing.
Gay dudes are getting married, which is I don't have a problem with. I think that's awesome. Yeah.
Well, I don't have a thought either way. You know? I mean, I personally... It's not my job to judge them. Like,
yeah,
if there is some judgment about it,
yeah,
it's not coming from me. So I believe in not being a douchebag.
Exactly.
You know, and so...
Leave people alone. Let them do
that. Yeah, treat them like I treat anybody else. Everybody views like these people as animals, but they have feelings just like you and me, you know? But I do think it's weird... that all of this stuff, this gay marriage, the LGBTQ or whatever
community,
yeah, like the transgender community, like all this stuff, for some reason right now compared to any time in history that I can remember, mm-hmm. is it's not just happening, but it's being like shoved in my face.
Exactly, dude. Like, I could give a fuck less about Bruce Jenner. Yes, I'm calling him Bruce Jenner.
Like, are you trying to convince me to be a tranny or something? Like, it's not going to work.
No, it's just like... And then they judge people who are, like, still calling him a him. Like, you can't do that. It's she. You got to call it a she. It's like, it's got a dick. It's a he. Okay? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And like you said...
I actually agree with that. Like, I'm gonna call it what it is. Like, if it might be confused about what it is. Like, I don't, you know, that's not up to me. And it might sound a little cruel.
Yeah.
It might be a little politically incorrect.
Or calling it it. You know, yeah, that's offensive.
That's it. That's like as best as I'll do.
But, I mean, hey, that's okay. They always say, I would like to be considered a woman or what I identify as a woman, whatever. Okay, that's fine. I can't go around and identify myself as the greatest baseball player on earth and just say, I would have liked you to address me as the greatest baseball player on earth.
I can't call you that because I'd be a liar.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man.
Nope.
At least wiffle ball. Wiffle ball player.
How about you call me tall? Call me tall.
I identify as a tall guy. Yeah.
No.
I identify as a black guy.
If you don't call me tall, that's you're being mean.
Yeah.
That's
offensive.
On you.
It's offensive.
Like, at some point, doesn't it seem like people are going a little crazy? Like,
ugh. That's the part I don't like, just pushing it down our fucking face.
Now, here's the part that'll blow your mind. If everybody is going crazy, then the people that aren't going crazy are going to look crazy.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I think's going on. I think everybody's going crazy.
I think, like, the majority of people I talk to, I mean, the media will try to make it worse. Like, oh, we're such a racist country still. There's so much racism, blah, blah, blah. Or sexism and hatred and all this. But there's really not. Like,
no, there's the media.
I mean, not in the area that, like, where I'm at. Like, everybody I talk to truly doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. Like, even like other races, like, unless they've actually been convinced of something that the media is telling them.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we've said for a while now on this show that the media is sparking a drug war, and now you've got all three major races involved. You've got the blacks that are burning flags, and it's pissing off the whites. You've got the whites that are all about the Confederate flag, and it's pissing off the blacks. And then you got Donald Trump pissing off the Mexicans at the whites.
What's his fucking deal, dude?
I'm telling you, this is a whole thing. It's a whole thing to make a race war.
Yeah, you said drug war. Yeah, but you're right.
I meant race war. They're
didn't we think that, hey, we got a black president, so we're all going to... It's going to help race.
His job's to intensify it.
Ah.
Yeah. His job's going to be to intensify it. I'm more sure now than ever. Not just because of the stuff I've researched, but it's because he is. Check it out. Everybody's like, that motherfucker. fucking, I hate that dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, even if he gets kicked out, he belongs to a socialist cabal. They're just going to put somebody else in there that's going to do the exact same shit. Getting rid of him ain't going to do nothing. Guarantee it.
I don't know. I think Trump is kind of like just a tool used to just, for one, make anything the Republican Party says just look like fucking idiots, because they're going to say, Republicans? Well, fucking Donald Trump's a Republican, and he says Mexicans are stupid.
It's the dialectic. It's the high
to divide.
Dialectic.
It's dividing.
So if they give us the ultra socialists on one side and the ultra conservatives, these things can go to war with each other.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's to divide.
Divide and conquer. Yeah. Because if we actually learn the truth, like we say on this podcast, not to be a douchebag, the non-aggression principle, love your neighbor as you love yourself, that kind of stuff, we wouldn't have any of these fucking problems. This, we'd be fine and dandy. They're dividing us to conquer us. And that Constitution or freedom is really the enemy.
And you know what's funny, talking about the news, is I watched, after they were taking, what was it, South Carolina took the Confederate flag down? Was it South Carolina? Yeah, and just so happens, news lady comes across some KKK people and interviews them.
Wow, but what a coincidence.
Yeah. So we're going to interview some members of the KKK, right?
Yeah.
And, dude, it was like,
and
so...
And I bet they were just laying it on thick.
Oh, dude, it was so cartoony. They're wearing their little pointy hoods and shit.
Right.
It looked like they went to a Halloween store, and bought KKK outfits, and they were actor. I swear they were like... It was so fake, dude.
Please, for you
listening
out there.
Obviously fake.
And use these tools that we've given you, the logical fallacies, the trivium method of critical thinking. Use these tools to be able to identify this stuff, you know? But go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, it was so obviously fake. It was a male and a female, these two people from the KKK, and it just looked so fake to me, and like the interview was just so fucking lame.
Yeah.
And I personally always have kind of considered the Confederate flag to be somewhat racist. Like, it might have changed its meaning over history, but in my opinion,
that.
It's a little, it always seemed a little racist to me.
I can go over that. It'll take 5 minutes.
Let's do this.
Okay. So, the South had more slaves than the North, but they had the agriculture.
Tobacco, cotton.
Yeah, they had the agriculture, and they were just, the Industrial Revolution was really just kind of setting off, so they still didn't have the machinery needed, and so they used slaves. Most of the time, the slaves and the slave masters had a very amicable relationship. It was almost like a payment thing. Like, it was very amicable. Their kids would hang out, that kind of stuff. They would simply work for them, and that's how it was. Only a very few times was it like you see on the movies. Like, they're whipping them, it's just horrible, right?
Yeah.
So, and it was, slavery was already on its way out because the machines were starting to come in and take over that job. And that's the only reason they needed them. They didn't want them because, you know, they wanted to suppress somebody. They wanted them because they had these fields and they wanted to maximize their profits. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was not that these guys were crazy ass racists that were just beating people. That's point number one. Point number two was that the federal government came in and started regulating the use of a lot of these this machinery and regulating the slaves and the ownership. In that regard, the way that the states read the Constitution, it said that the states have the authority to this. Each state has the authority to write the laws in regard to that. It's Amendments 9 and 10 in the Constitution. Can I read those real quick?
Yeah, man.
So that we're clarified on this?
I personally can't... I'm sure it wasn't all, like you're saying, racist whipping people, but it's hard to not picture that when I think of racism, because slavery, it's just so horrible. Just the thought of owning another human being.
Yeah.
And you know they're not living in the best conditions and...
Yeah.
I mean, slavery essentially still kind of exists in the world.
Oh, well, now what they did with the 14th Amendment, and I'm doing some research that says it's probably even before that, but that now all of us are slaves.
But, like in that movie, 12 Years a Slave, have you seen that one?
No, huh?
They kind of do show, like, what you're saying was, like, oh, there was, like, nice owners that would, like, you know... Like you were saying, the kids hang out, they got an education or whatever, but...
Yeah.
And then you get moved to this different plantation, whatever, where they're fucking horrible people.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, man, it's kind of hard for me to believe that the majority of them... I would absolutely believe the majority of them treated them like animals and were just fucking horrible to them.
I don't think so.
That's just... I don't know, maybe it's just because the way I've been taught in history class...
That's the media's manipulation of the history.
Because they owned it, like it was like a tool for them. Like they owned a human being, like it was a tool.
Yeah, but
I don't think they're going to be treating them like that great.
Yeah, according to the stuff I've looked into, that's not what it was.
Really?
Yep. So here's what the Ninth Amendment says. The Ninth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Okay, so, and then the 10th Amendment says, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. So what that means is, if in the Constitution there is not specifically granted a power to the federal government, then that power gets passed down, and it's either the states, and if the states don't assume that power, then it's to the people level. Now, what the states said during this whole thing is that there's nowhere in the Constitution that says you guys can regulate the cotton gin or slavery or anything. There's nothing that says that. And so they felt like it was a violation, and that the states all felt like they were in a contract with the federal government. And that's what the Constitution was. And they felt like by the government, federal government doing this, they broke that contract. And so the states said, all right, then we're out. We're out of the union. We want out. Mm-hmm. And the federal government came in and said, now it's time for war. And that's what the Civil War was all about. And so there's different light then in that understanding of the Confederate flag. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't all about slavery. And as a matter of fact, I think it's important to nail this home. Abe Lincoln was not trying to free the slaves. He was not doing that. The reason he did that is because he knew that if he nationally freed the slaves, because there's more slaves in the South, it would cause a rebellion to go in the South, and it would cause them to lose the war. Abe Lincoln was an extremely racist man. And I've actually got some quotes here I'd like to read of his. He actually did say that if he could have won that war without freeing a single slave, he would have done it.
Well,
yeah. So let me read a few quotes of his.
What do you think makes a racist? I mean,
ignorance.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Ignorance.
But I mean, because you watch like little kids play together before they even can form sentences, they don't hate each other.
They learn that behavior.
Yeah.
That is learned behavior. Yeah. All right. Lincoln said, you're going to trip out on these.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing because we're painted that, oh, he was a great man that...
he freed the slaves.
He freed the slaves. Yeah, yeah.
Put him on the $5 bill. Okay. He said, there is a natural disgust in the minds of nearly all white people to the idea of indiscriminate amalgamation of the white and black races. A separation of the races is the only perfect preventive of amalgamation, but as an immediate separation is impossible, the next big thing is to keep them apart where they are not already together. If white and black people never get together in Kansas, they will never mix blood in Kansas. Here's another one he said. In the language of Mr. Jefferson, uttered many years ago, it is still in our power to direct the process of emancipation and deportation, peaceably and in such slow degrees as that the evil will wear off insensibly, and in their places be pari passu, which means on an equal basis, filled up by free white laborers. So what he was wanting to do, there was a movement back then where they wanted to get rid of the black people and ship them back to Africa.
What the hell?
Yeah. So here's another thing that he said. Then that's why they bought Liberia. Liberia was bought for that purpose. Lincoln said, I have no purpose directly or indirectly to interfere with the institution of slavery in the states where it exists. I believe that I have no lawful right to do so, and I have no inclination to do so. He also said, I have no purpose to introduce political and social equality between the white and black races. There is physical difference between the two, physical differences between the two, which in my judgment will probably forever forbid their living together upon the footing of perfect equality. Inasmuch as it becomes a necessity that there must be a difference, I, as well as Judge Douglas, am in favor of the race to which I belong having the superior position.
Where are these quotes? Like, are these things that he's written, or like just direct quotes of what he's said?
I imagine it was written, yeah, taken down.
He's written this down? Okay.
Yeah. Also, he said, our Republican system was meant for a homogenous people. As long as blacks continue to live with the whites, they constitute a threat to the national life. Family life may also collapse, and the increase of mixed breed bastards may someday challenge the supremacy of the white man. So, he was not,
not a fan.
What everybody thinks he was.
I did see like a thing on the History Channel about him, and he was a strange guy. Like they were talking about what the fuck did they always they didn't, you know, he had like severe headaches, but what was that, like an opium that you would drink? What was that shit?
They did. They had like some opium. Like
it wasn't opium, but what they used to take for headaches and all that stuff. But they. Even on the History Channel, they kind of made him out to be kind of a weirdo. Like, he was kind of a recluse and everything.
Well, to me, that's not somebody that really studies and appreciates the Constitution. The way the Constitution was set up is you have these different forces acting against each other. You've got the federal government that wants the federal interests, and that's why you have the president. You've got the judicial system appointed by the president. But then you've also got the states, and they've got their own thing they want. That's why the states get to elect two senators. And so that the senators go, and they get to vote for what the state wants. Then you've got the people. And then the people get to elect not only electors for the president, but they get to elect the congressmen. So that in Congress, you have the people represented. In the Senate, you have the states represented. And in the federal government, you've got, obviously, the federal government represented. And these forces all battle each other to check each other all the time. Now, if Lincoln goes in and says, well, if that's what the states want, fuck that. I'll smash him with the force of the federal government. He's not really either getting the Constitution, or he's not vibing with how the balance is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Kind of like Obama.
And he killed like 600,000 Americans that were not douchebags. A lot of these are good people that felt like they had a constitutional reason to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, let's take another break. And then when we get back to it, I say, well, real quick too, let's talk about that gay marriage thing, because that falls into all this.
Okay.
So gay marriage falls into state rights, according to the Constitution. That's because it was not explicitly a power granted to the federal government in the Constitution. Nowhere does it say you have the authority to dictate marriage. Nowhere in there does it say that. So if it doesn't expressly give the power to the federal government, then that power goes either to the states or to the people, right? That's exactly what it says. I read the amendment. So it doesn't say that. So that power should go to the states. Now, what the Supreme Court said is they said, I'll read it here in a sec. They used the 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment happened after the Civil War, but it had to do more with freeing the slaves and giving them a chance to marry who they want to marry, because they had restrictions on that.
Is stupid anyway. I mean, just like the drug war debate. Why is the government telling us what we put in our own bodies? You own your own body, right?
Yeah.
Why the fuck does anybody care who you love, who you live with, who you fuck?
Thank you.
Why does the government have a say in any of that?
This is a post I put to Facebook, and it's a quote, and it says this. In the debate over whether to legalize gay marriage, both sides are missing the point. Why should the government be in the business of decreeing who can and cannot be married? And then I posted the 9th and 10th Amendment. And then it says, the position of liberty in this debate is clear. Marriage should not be a matter of interest to the state, except in the realm of contract dispute. So marriage becomes a contract.
It's just paperwork.
And then the state has the state actually has business in enforcing contracts. I get that. But other than that, it's not their business who and who cannot get into a contract with each other.
It should never have been a fucking argument as long as it's been an argument for.
It's the right to contract. So here's the clause in the 14th Amendment that they actually used to justify taking that power from the states and assuming that power. It was the due process. It says, nor shall any state I'll read the whole amendment. It's only section 1 of the 14th Amendment. It says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction equal protection of the laws. So they're saying that they're assuming because they're talking about equality that the 14th Amendment applies, so now it's a national government's concern. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It starts to get complicated, and we're going to start getting complicated. So I hope you guys can keep up with us, but we're going to start getting into law and like constitutional law, and it's going to
legalese.
Legalese. We're going to get crazy with it.
Boring to read though. It's just like,
it is.
It's like monotonous to read it.
But is it better if I can explain it
this? Yeah. If you explain it. Yeah.
That's my goal. Step, yeah. My goal is to be able to explain it in an understandable way in bite-sized pieces so that people can take this home and get an interest in it. Because if we don't take an interest in this shit,
read some sentences, break those sentences down,
break them down.
What do these mean?
Yeah.
But there's so much of it. It's so fucking goes on forever.
So that 14th Amendment is what they used to actually justify jacking rights that actually belong to the state, the states. So that's my whole view on gay marriage. You might have a different one, but for me personally, I think that when I read the Constitution, that right should either be given to the states or given to the people. And if you have a state that says, you can't get married in this state, then you still have the freedom to vote with your feet. You can go to a different state.
I kind of do think it's a human right, dude.
Well, that's fine. I don't even think it's any governmental business.
Exactly.
But say California.
They already voted it down. Remember years back, California voted no gay marriage.
Yeah.
And then they got overturned anyway.
Yeah. Right.
So your votes don't fucking matter anyway.
Yeah. That's an argument for sure. If that's left up to the states, then the states can all battle each other. And if one state does something fucked up, then everybody will move out and go to the states that they want to be in.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like that whole checks system. It's kind of really beautiful the way it's set up like that.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on the gay marriage thing. So we've covered gay marriage, Confederate flag, and Bruce Jenner. Those were our major news items we wanted to handle. When we come back from the break, we're going to start getting into our drug war data. You got anything else, buddy?
Well, every interview I see, like with the whole gay marriage debate thing, and you know, you've mentioned that you're Christian or whatever, it's like, well, I'm just a Christian, so I just think it's wrong. Not even caring about the individuals, you know, just because some 2,000-year-old book says whatever.
This is what I believe. And this is what I believe Jesus said, is if you believe it's wrong, then don't do it. Because that's between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not for you to judge them. God's that judge. And you're not the judge.
Mm-hmm.
He specifically says, don't judge others. And that's where I lie with it. I don't judge. I don't personally do it. But that's my thing.
Because everybody the interview that says that comment was like, and they feel so high and mighty when they say that. And I'm not trying to trash you at all, but it's like these people that they're interviewing. Because, you know, you have a cool outlook on it all.
Well, because I actually read Jesus' teachings. Yeah, most people, don't read. Just,
yeah.
They go to church and they get told what to think by a pastor.
That's what I was getting to is, okay, so stuff, don't think for your fucking self and put yourself in someone else's shoes or have any kind of heart in the matter at all.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't think for yourself. You're just told by this old fucking book what to fucking think. And you're essentially a slave now to this religion.
I really think that if people actually read what Jesus said, this is not a religious broadcast. That's not what we're doing. It's just came up in conversation.
Yeah.
It's not an agenda of mine to make this a religious thing. It's not. But I think if people actually read what Jesus said, they'd be blown away at how different that is than what modern church.
My understanding, I don't believe in Jesus or nothing like that.
You don't believe he was a historical character?
I don't believe there was a guy that was born from a virgin's vagina and walked on water and all that.
Okay.
I don't believe in it. And died and came back 3 days later. I don't believe any of that shit.
Yeah.
There could have been a guy named Jesus, that maybe preached and helped people or whatever, but
you don't believe he was God?
No, fuck no. I don't believe in any of that stuff. But I forgot what I was going to say about that now. God damn it. You threw me off.
Sorry. I'll stop interrupting.
Where was I going to? Oh, never mind. Fuck, I forgot what I was going to, what the point I was trying to make.
Hey, if you want to think about it on break, we can come back to it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
The good thing is, this podcast is ours, and we can do whatever we want to do on
it. Yeah. You know what is cool is we have no sponsors, and so we don't, you know, could you imagine like, this is brought to you by shaving cream.
Yep.
It's the best shaving cream. Hey,
they'll get in there and they'll go, don't bring up this.
Exactly.
Because
and then you're owned.
It's going to mess with our bottom line profit margins. Yep. And that's the best way to roll. Especially if you want to do a podcast like this on freedom. Best way to roll is no sponsors. Or a sponsor where your agreement with them is absolutely you're not telling me what to say on this thing.
No.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this.
We're going to take a break.
So, freedom is becoming against the grain. Here we go.
refrain. Whoa-oh. They try and call me names. I rise up, some people never change. Well, I don't care for what they say, now it's me against the grain.
Yeah.
That is a badass groove right there. And I just ruined it by talking over it.
No, it's fine.
It's a power through and through.
It's
I love
a
that bass,
constant
dude.
Struggle.
Is that a 16th that. Note? That's badass.
Well, if this is every four, one, two, three, four, one. One, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. Yeah, that'd be a 16th.
No.
See, that's some math education on the Beacon Podcast.
Hey.
Musical.
Now, everybody get your instruments and start rocking. Yeah, so I remember what I was going to say. Like the idea of the whole Jesus thing.
Yeah.
Is what's funny is, you know, with the gay marriage thing, it's always... I'm a fucking Christian, and that just says that's fucking wrong. You know, it's always the biggest right-winger, redneck douchebags that
but
always...
They don't know.
They quote Jesus, right? But you
They
know,
don't quote Jesus. Jesus never said
that. Oh, no, they try to. They think they are there. Say, the fucking Bible just says that way. It's going to be that way. All right,
it's in
man?
The Bible. It's not part of Jesus, yeah. What Jesus
and
said.
And so, I just, and they're so fucking proud of themselves that... I'm a fucking Christian. Well, they don't say fucking, but I like to throw it in there just to make the redneck.
No, you're
yeah, I'm a Christian,
totally
okay?
Right.
So I just, and they feel so fucking proud of themselves about their little
it's
non-ideas.
Self-righteousness.
Unwillingness to fucking think for themselves.
And what it does is they elevate themselves above others.
Exactly.
And that is one of the worst
Because
things
you think
do.
It's okay, but I'm a little better than you because I fucking believe in Jesus, okay? He's my Lord and Savior. I love him. All right, God.
What's funny is if you read what Jesus says, and then you get that, you hear that, you go, that's insane, because he's saying, humble yourself.
Exactly.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
But these are typically, and I can't judge, whatever, but typically, super right-wingers, fucking, hate immigration, hate, pretty racist in general, but...
especially,
they're modeling their life after a guy who turns out is kind of liberal. Pretty fucking liberal, if you ask me.
Actually, he taught a lot of people. Like, I listened to the podcast the other day. Was Jesus a socialist? And other than it being a voluntary society, he did teach socialism, except for it was voluntary. He said it should be a community of people that give everything to the common good, but that they do it voluntarily. And I do think that that will be the only way out of this whole, like, this world is always going to flounder until we adopt that system of government he was talking about. Because, man, I don't see any other way. I think the Constitution is, closer, but until we all can learn to, give freely, but it has to be a common understanding. Because if you have... takers out there, then the givers are just going to feel taken advantage of, and it won't work, right? But yeah, he did teach a lot of what would seem like socialist tenets, but except for the fact that socialism actually robs us to create a quote-unquote utopia.
Yeah. I have a question just because I'm curious. Is how do we know what we read about, say, some... Jesus, 2015 years ago, this is some, who knows, maybe real, but in time, when you tell a story, it always kind of changes,
and
heroification.
And it has
How do
changed.
We know what is true as, real quotes anymore?
Yeah.
Well,
that's another way we're going to get into the on the podcast is, this is where you get into the mystery schools. A lot of your ancient mystery schools, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, these guys, that's the question. It is how do you derive truth?
Yeah.
How do you find
even in our own
truth?
History books, something that happened like 20 years ago,
yep.
There's always a hero and they always have to give it some more juice, you know?
It's how do you, and that's the real question, is how do you find truth? Now, we've talked about a few of the tools, like the Trivium method of critical thinking. We've talked about how to identify, not lies, but logical fallacies. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody says an argument, if it's a logical fallacy, then you can't take it as true. It's an argument that sounds good, but it doesn't mean it's true. Like saying, well, dude, most people believe this. Doesn't mean it's true. Everybody could be confused, you know? So we're gonna start diving into the philosophical schools and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so if I could like kind of do like a blanket question for you on all the topics we've discussed, you know, Confederate flag, gay marriage, Bruce Jenner's dick, Jesus, and all that shit. What do you think about all these people? This has been a very popular thing: is you offended me. And why the fuck do I care if you're fucking offended? Like, what's up with the sensitivity?
The reason for the First Amendment is so that we could piss off each other.
Yeah.
That's it.
You and I don't agree with religion or stuff, but we're still buddies. But, like, well, I just don't understand the I'm so offended and my feelings were hurt. And then the news comes on. It's like, yeah, how dare you offend that person and hurt their feelings? You bully.
Yeah.
You're a bully now.
I think there's a few different, like, principles.
What the fuck is that? What is going on with our society right now?
It's socialism.
Just, you better tread lightly. Ooh, wow. You called Bruce Jenner a him. Wow. Watch out, everybody.
That's how socialism
works. Watch out for this guy.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that though?
How it works? That's a part of cultural Marxism. Marxism, socialism, part of it is control by the state. Right? Like obviously, control by the state. But another whole part of it is cultural Marxism. Is that through media, through all these different avenues, people are being convinced on how to govern themselves and control themselves so that people like us, free-thinking individuals, become the bad guy.
I kind of think it's weakening us, especially men in general.
For sure.
Dude, when I was growing up,
we want a nation of... Well, you need... If you don't have a nation of strong people... Strong, independent thinking people, you cease to have a nation after that. I mean, you're easily conquered. All somebody has to do is pretend to be something big, like in the animal kingdom, and everybody will cower down and they'll bow away because they haven't developed the ability to critically think, to independently think. Yeah. I'm telling you guys, this Beacon podcast is important. It's really, really important that people get this information.
Yeah, I mean, if we didn't have this, I wouldn't be over here drinking a grapefruit Sculpin right now.
Yeah, well, it's fun for us.
Yeah.
But what's good for me is I've learned some of these truths, and to not put it out there, if I know it's good information, it kind of kills you a little bit inside, you know?
Oh, yeah. Dude, you've, like, opened my mind to so much shit, dude. It's so cool.
I appreciate that.
I would never, like, I've read into things I never would have read into. I would have... Just be one of these guys is, oh, well, the news said this. It must be true. I'm fucking, that's a real KKK guy getting interviewed with his wife about the Confederate flag, which obviously shit like that, you know, in the brainwashing techniques. But man,
I love this. Whenever the people are well-informed, they can be trusted with their own government. That's Thomas Jefferson. And right now, the people aren't well-informed.
No.
So that's why your own government is running away into their own government. And it's by design. We'll get into that in other episodes. But it gets into some deep shit.
And people might call me kind of a conspiracy theorist, you know. And I always just...
That's another ad hominem attack.
Exactly. But like when you talk about the Communist Manifesto and you read it and you watch everything that's going on, it's just, you can't deny it.
It's absolutely undeniable. We said that we were going to actually prove certain things on this podcast, that's what I set out to do. To do the research, and then I knew what I thought, but I had to actually be able to prove it and then convey it on the podcast in order for it to be able to sink into other people. I don't want somebody to listen to this podcast and go, yeah, but I don't know. I still don't know. Now, we've inundated them with congressional records, quotes. I mean, we've driven it home, at least that the socialist thing is taking hold in America. I mean, I don't know how else you can prove it.
Well, I mean, you're a Bible guy.
I'm a Jesus guy. Okay. I don't but know if I'm a Bible guy.
You've read the Bible. You know the Bible, right?
I've read most of the Bible.
Okay. Well, we were having this conversation with some uncles. We were at a barbecue, and we were talking about this. And my uncle kind of got pissed at me, but whatever. Like, we were agreeing on the same thing. Like, you know, the socialist agenda that's coming on to us and this and that. And, the, you know, the value of the dollar crashing is like, the dollar is nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But he goes, well, you know, it even says in the Bible, we'll have one world currency. And so I was going to ask you, like, where it says that or what your thoughts on...
The book of Revelation says that. It's the last book of the Bible, and it does talk about that. It talks about eventually a one-world government, a one-world currency, and a one-world religion. It's provable, but it'll take a lot of steps in order to be able to prove that that is the actual goal of these guys. There's two different arguments. There is the book of Revelations coming true, or was it written by these guys?
Written by the socialists who...
Written by, and there's dynastic families. I mean, these families trace their bloodlines back to the pharaohs of Egypt. You know, like, thousands and thousands of years ago. It's possible either way, and it's very difficult to prove either one. You know, if God inspired the book of Revelations, or if these people wrote it, and it was written for their plan to take over everything. I haven't been able to prove or get to the bottom of. I'm just being honest. But one thing's true. They are using that book right now to exploit the masses, especially the Christians. Because all the Christians right now believe that we're entering the end times.
Yeah.
And that's... so. Either way, the Christians are being exploited. And so, like, my parents, they say, I tell them all this stuff, and I'm like, well, then why don't you guys buy some gold and silver and, like learn this stuff and start teaching it to people? They're like, well, we believe we're going to get taken up in the rapture, so it's not a big deal to us. So it renders them completely useless.
Fuck, I wish I could believe that. I wish I could just be like, hey, it doesn't matter, bro. You're going to get sucked up into heaven. You're going to be hanging out with grandpa, drinking beers and catching fish, you know?
Yeah.
But I can't believe in heaven at all. It's just, wish I did. I wish I could just be like, it's okay, you know? Just, I mean, like we were saying in the beginning of the show, feeling safe and secure. I feel pretty safe and secure. I mean, of course, the dollar's going to crash, you know? It's not going to be good, but there'll be an economic collapse. Eventually, it has to happen.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
The way we're printing money and everything.
Yeah.
But I wish I had that. I wish I could just be like, yeah, well, God's going to take care of us.
Well, that's a whole other field of research, is the C.I. Schofield Bible, and that the whole rapture doctrine could be an actual, like, really, really mean, cruel plot. Mm-hmm. To take Christians and absolutely neutralize them.
Okay, can you help me understand something? Because I'm trying to understand the belief process, like how people believe.
Yeah.
I believe it starts with indoctrination. Otherwise, you would have no idea of what a God is. You'd just be a being on this planet with your own thoughts, right?
Well,
no, you wouldn't need any weird beliefs, or you don't have to face the sun and do weird shit.
Yeah.
But
that's not necessarily true either.
I think there's always going to be...
Remember the Indians...
Curiosity. Like, what the fuck's that shining in the sky? It's the stars,
it's
whatever.
It's the sun. The Indians, though, they would actually have some of their priests would just dance for all the hours of the day, and they'd give that energy that they were using. They were say that they're giving that to God because they felt like you had to give, like, God, like, homage, like, energy.
Okay, so explain this to me, okay? So, I have family that live in Idaho, and we're out there visiting them. And my brother, he's a really good gun guy. Like, he knows guns. He builds guns. He's a badass. So, we're all on vacation, and he goes, let's just go get lost and check out the town or whatever, you know? So, we're driving around Idaho, and there's this gun shop. He goes, let's go check that gun shop out. I said, all right, cool. We walk in there. I mean, this guy's got every fucking gun. It's a badass gun shop. I mean, he's got an AR-15s. A whole room just for AR-15s and grenade launchers and every fucking thing you could put on an AR-15 and 50 caliber rifles on freaking tripod stands and everything. It's badass, right?
Yeah.
And we're in here just checking it out, blah, blah, blah. And then we walk out, and I didn't realize when we walked in, but it says free Bibles. Like, they hand out free Bibles. So obviously this guy believes in God and religion and everything. Mm-hmm. And my thing is like, if I believed in God, I wouldn't need weapons because God loves me and is going to protect me, right?
That's exactly what I'm up to. Like, I'm all about guns. Here's the thing is, I don't think that I personally, now I'm not trying to convince everybody what I believe because this is just what I believe, and it's not, I cannot prove this,
mm-hmm.
but what I personally believe is I believe that how the Bible is written, it's saying this could be heaven or this could be hell. It depends on what we do with it. And so I'm very much into taking responsibility, mm-hmm. very much into working, very much into earning, very much into defending myself to promulgate my posterity if I eventually want to have kids someday. That's what I believe. Yeah. And that guy, it sounds like that's what that guy might believe as well.
With the guns and just spreading the word of his religion.
Like, and
it's hard for me to relate to those people because I just take things too fucking literally, I guess. Like, the idea of a God is this being that loves you and is protecting you, because otherwise why would you pray, you know? It's just, I don't know, it's just, none of it will ever make sense to me, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would be lying if I said that I even had a quarter, or like, any percentage of an understanding of it. To tell you the truth, I just... it's not so much for me what I think when it comes to that, but it's what I feel. And I feel like that is, like, the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I when I study into it more, I can't disprove it. As a matter of fact, like, it seems like it gets more and more validated for me. That's just me personally. So, I mean, I understand. It wasn't long ago that I was saying that same stuff. Like, and honestly, I'm still at a point where I'm like, honestly, these religions are like, I can prove that a lot of these religions were invented.
Well, yeah, it's just a business.
We're just invented.
Like, why is it okay to just make fun of Scientology when it's no different than most religions?
Yeah.
It's just a business.
It's a way
to control. You go in there and you put your money in the fucking basket.
And extract money.
Yeah. And you get brainwashed.
Yeah.
And I don't really give a shit either way. Like, if you're a good guy, I don't give a fuck what people believe, you know? But I had a bad go at it early in life. And that's why I always kind of had, like, a bad taste in my mouth with religion.
Well, and that's another reason why I think that Jesus was really onto something is because all the Christians now, not all, but so much of them, they're not practicing what he taught. And so I go, well, if his teachings got corrupted through time, and I know the way that like, sinister, like, forces work, like the elites and that kind of stuff, I go, there might be something to what he was teaching, you know? And so I started reading it, and I'm like, then I started, like, actually, like, adopting those practices in my life. Not that I'm, like, doing them all, because obviously nobody's perfect, but the more and more I just do one thing here or there, it, like, just improves things for me. You can't prove it. There are some historians, it's like extra biblical historians. So it's people outside of like what was in the Bible. Like Josephus was a Roman? Yeah, he's a Roman historian. He was actually Jewish, but he just logged shit down. He said there was this dude that was walking around and started gathering a following. Like there are accounts of this dude outside of the Bible. So it probably was an actual historical figure. Whether or not he was God or not, that's impossible to prove.
Yeah.
It's impossible to prove. Yeah. And that's the thing with religion. All religions are impossible to prove.
Exactly.
And
it's just that's what faith is, though. You believe in something that can't be proven.
That's why you can never harp on somebody that's of a different religion, because you can't prove it. I cannot prove that I'm right. I might be completely wrong. I cannot prove it. It's just that's what I choose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't harp on anything.
What do you think about like the different sects of... sections.
Yeah.
Of the Christian religion. Like there's.
Oh yeah.
I'm a Baptist. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Nazarene, and they all judge each other. Oh, he goes to that Nazarene.
Divide and conquer.
I'm one of them Southern Baptists.
Divide and conquer.
What is that? I mean, like
it's divide.
You're reading the same fucking book. God damn it! Like,
yeah.
But they like. Oh, we don't like to hang out with them because they're one of them other Lutherans. Oh, my God.
I think it's divide and conquer.
And it's the same fucking religion, but they, like, judge each other.
That's why all I do, I personally don't go to church.
Yeah.
I just read what that dude wrote, and I just like to do those things. That's it. You know?
Yeah. I remember for a while there, it's weird how, like, as a human being, like, when you've been, I guess this is kind of how racism could work, but you know, say you met a Jehovah's Witness, and that Jehovah's Witness was the biggest fucking douchebag dick in the world. You would kind of consider other Jehovah's Witness the biggest douchebag dicks in the world, right? Like,
yeah, you lump them all in together.
Say you're some scared little old lady, and one time some black guy was scary to you, and
you hate all black people.
Then you hate all black people.
But that is, and that, dude,
I'm not gonna lie, that was kind of exactly. And I have to say I was pretty ignorant. You know, but my first job, I worked with this guy, and he was a Jehovah's Witness, and it was never fucking ending with his fucking trying to get me to go to his fucking church. And
see, I don't
he was
agree
a weaselly
with that.
Motherfucker. And I'm like, look, dude, his name was Eddie. And I go, look, Eddie, I don't give a fuck about your religion, bro. I just want to work here, dude. Like, I don't want to talk about God. Yeah. And, you know, I was an atheist still then, but I didn't push it in people's faces. Mm-hmm. Like, if you ask me, I'll tell you. But he absolutely couldn't believe that I would be an atheist and that we worked together. It was just like my sin was his sin kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I automatically, and not only because of him, but the ones that go knocking on your fucking door and shit like that, I just hated.
Yeah, well, I actually, that's another, like, not to get back into Jesus, but if you really recognize what he did, he was like a libertarian type. When he taught, he went up to a mountain and he just started talking. And then whoever came and listened he welcomed, but he never ever forced his shit on anybody else.
Yeah.
So not once.
So I just didn't like, what were they called? Jehovah's Witnesses forever. Like just cause of this guy just made him the worst people I could ever deal with. Well, a few years later on down the road, I work with a guy who turns out to be a Jehovah's Witness. Could be a cooler guy, dude. Super cool guy.
Yeah.
And then that kind of helped me like, you know, I was like 16 or something. So you're growing as a man. Like those are the things I took in my life. Like, oh, okay, don't ever fucking do that again. You know, you will take every person that you meet individually on an individual basis.
Yeah. Like no lumping people into categories.
Yeah. And so that helped, you know, I'm glad that happened because now I've worked with several different religious people that were cool and, you know, they just, whatever you do on your Sunday and at home, I don't give a fuck, you know?
Exactly.
But I guess the point I was trying to, I just hate when they push that shit down your throat. So we're going to take a
break. I got to take a break.
You know what's funny is we always have to, we're like chicks on our periods when we get together.
Well, once you pop the cork, you got
to
go.
Dude,
man.
But we always have to piss at the same time.
Let's continue.
What is
when
that?
We get back. Is that cool?
We will continue with.
It was good stuff, though.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry to get you on this. Just keep talking. Keep talking.
No, I got to piss too.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, we're chicks on our periods, and we're like chicks that get their periods at the same time. You know, if they get together.
How are we going? It's crazy.
Well, that's another thing we got to figure out. How does that happen?
I got to go.
All right, I got to piss too.
Okay.
We got a song for y'all. What is this one, Matt?
Soja's Tear It Down.
Soja.
And by it, we mean the standard way of thinking that everybody's been brainwashed into. We are going to tear it down so that you guys can decide what you want to do with your own lives instead of being manipulated by all the manipulators out there.
And the way you brought that up was it made me think of the Common Core curriculum. I would really like to dive into that
eventually. Oh, sure.
I'm curious about that.
Yep.
But we've talked about that before on the show, but we haven't like done a show about it.
Let's do you want to do our teaser to the next episode right now, or do you want to do it in a little bit?
Let's do it now, man, and we'll get we're gonna, you know, like Matt said earlier in the show, we're gonna be diving into the drug war a little bit deeper in future episodes.
And what how we're going to attack it now is we've already talked about what the drug war does to society. We've if you guys haven't checked it out, check out our past episode. It's called Drug War Number One. And we've talked about how it weakens the economy, it destroys the moral fabric of society, that just the drug war alone increases your police force, it increases your prison population, it creates more addicts, and those addicts become violent because they need to try to get money for their underground things. It's responsible for gangs. Gangs exist because of the drug war. So these things are it's crazy. But our second, where we're going to merge into now, and we'll probably do like at least four series on the drug war because it's so complicated. Yeah, we're going to get this guy Earl on the show. Yeah. We actually recorded with him, and my dumb ass didn't record the episode.
Well, we didn't have
right.
enough data on our recorder, and it fucked up or something.
It's my bad. Amateur
man,
move.
Cool.
Amateur move. But and we'll I am an back. Amateur, so.
We both are.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you guys can't tell by listening to how amazing
I mean,
the
we
show.
Sound pretty badass, but.
Your voice is like velvet, bro.
Velvet. That is a pretty cool substance. Velvet.
You know what?
I'm always like find myself just rubbing it.
When was the last time I haven't come across velvet? I can't remember the last time I come.
Velvet
I used to
must
see it all
be
the time.
Out, man.
There was like velvet couches and shit, and
maybe there's a velvet
on
trade
velvet.
That got taken over.
What happened to velvet?
What if there is like a substance like war, like corduroy beat velvet? And there's actually they raided each other's facilities, took each other out.
If there's ever a substance I never need to come across again in my life, it would be corduroy.
Yeah, corduroy. What about suede? Are you a suede fan?
Yeah, because I like to have Vans, and Vans that makes their shoes out of suede.
Yeah.
Suede shoes, bro.
But how about Twill? Remember Twill?
Twill's cool. I'm down with Twill, because we used to do our interior on our cars with that.
Yeah.
But, dude, I lit myself on fire wearing corduroy pants one time.
Damn, that's why you hate it. You had a bad experience.
Yeah, well, I was cutting rebar with a chop saw, with a quickie saw, you know, and, the sparks lit the fucking pant leg on fire. And, you know, the faster I run, the louder it got, you know, the fucking cords and shit.
So, is that, should be a warning on corduroys before you
don't
buy them?
Like, spark shit around you.
These pants will light you on fire.
And there's nothing worse of a pain than being burnt, dude. Burnt is the worst pain. I feel so bad for people. Did you see that fire on the fucking 15 freeway where they're just leaving their cars the other day?
Yeah.
The firemen were just like, they didn't know what to do. The firemen were just like, just go that way. Like, there's a fire behind you and in front of you.
Yeah.
I think I would have just took my chance and just drove through that fucking smoke. But there's, you don't know, because there's cars, just, they didn't divert traffic to one direction.
Sitting
Why
in
did
it
they not
is
do
the
that?
Killer. Sitting in it is the killer, right? Because you're exposed to heat. When you're exposed to heat for a certain amount of time, then your vehicle gets hot enough to where it can combust.
And that was happening.
That was happening.
And it was like random cars all over the place. It was like a fucking zombie movie, dude.
Yeah.
On the 15 freeway.
And it's crazy because...
Dude, trucks were on fire and like in random lanes. So like they couldn't divert traffic.
Modern man has become so spoiled. They don't know what to do in emergencies, you know?
Yeah.
They... Like, I feel like you or me would have our heads like very much together. Like, okay, protect, you know? Like, oh... I've got a cool story about like a similar thing. Were you done talking about the fire?
Sure.
We were at when we went to Miami. We just went to Miami, and
how was Miami? Because I've never been there, and like I think it would be great. Like Cuban food. Did you get like some croquetas?
Oh, we got Cuban like big time. Yeah.
Did you smoke some cigars and shit? Cuban cigars.
I did smoke some cigars.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Well, I think you got to tell people you got robbed twice.
I'm not
trying to laugh at you, but it's just hilarious. It's just crazy. You go to relax, and then here you are on the phone with your fucking credit card company the whole fucking vacation, right?
Yeah. As cool
God, that sucks.
As Miami is.
You didn't come back with a tattoo, Miami?
For the respect of being a beautiful place. It's beautiful. The ocean is the best ocean I've ever seen.
Was it warm? Was the water warm?
It was got to be 70 or 80.
Wow.
Like, going in it was like nothing. Like, Lindsay was surprised, and she was like laughing, and she was like a little schoolgirl in that ocean. Like, you do it in a bathing suit, and you do not get cold.
Wow.
Actually, one of the nights after we were done, it's legal to have drinks and be in the water for 24 hours.
Why would it be? Because we're from California, and everything's fucking illegal.
Yeah.
You can't even smoke or fucking have a fire or
and so one
throw
night,
a frisbee to your dog on the
fucking
beach.
After a club, we were looking for something to do, like us and our friends, and we were like, why don't we just raid our fridges in our hotel rooms?
The mini
and
bars?
The mini bars.
That's
and
a lot
let's
of
just
money.
Go out to the beach and let's watch the sunrise.
Yeah.
Because it was like 4 or 5 in the morning. We're like, we'll go out there, have some drinks, just hang out. And that's what we did.
Were you smoking stogies and shit?
No, not then. Okay. We were just having some drinks. We had some drinks and watched the fucking sunrise in Miami, and it was fucking
did
awesome.
You get your dance on? I picture Miami as like a place where you go and you dance with your lady, like to like
oh yeah, got
Latin
a lot of
music,
dancing.
You know, like dun 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 dun.
Well, a lot of the places we went to were like popping clubs. Like one of the ones we went to was Liv, and Liv is like a worldwide famous club, and we decided to do like that bottle service at a table, and it was just it was nuts. Nuts. Hmm. When I say nuts, it was like
expensive.
So we're with a group, a really cool group, and like our girls, they're not like really the jealous type. So they're just like having fun, and the security guards keep bringing up like other groups of girls that want to just hang out in our section. And so after a while,
you got a hard life, bro.
It was after
hot ones. I'm assuming they were fucking hot.
It was insane. It was insane, and it just was like just dancing. But I will tell you the truth: it's a lot of the girls that go to these kind of places. They are like pretty materialistic, you know, yeah. Well, and so pretty on the outside, maybe not so pretty on the inside, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, I've seen Shallow Hal. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Shallow Hal. but yeah, I did get jacked. That night we went in the water, actually. They told us, don't bring anything valuable.
Because you're getting shit-faced.
They said there are like bandits that run around the beach at night and jack people's stuff.
Beach bandits?
And I was like, nah, that's kind of... Maybe once in a while you get a report of that or something. And so we didn't bring anything valuable. I just brought a backpack with all the... And I emptied it out completely. And we just brought the contents of our fridges, yeah. The booze.
How much did that cost? I mean, mini bar fridge shit—it's like fucking through the roof price, right?
Like
a little airport bottle of rum is going to be like $20, right?
The vacation was already so expensive. It was just like at that point we were just spending money.
It was like, fuck it. They're printing the shit out like it's nothing
that's
anyway.
How right? It was anyway at the end of the vacation.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'll be paying this vacation off for quite a while.
Oh, it's all in the card, huh?
No. I've actually already paid for a lot of it, but yeah, it. But there's still some more. So we're out there. We're chilling on the beach. Oh, and my dumbass took care of everything. I took everything out of my backpack. But the only thing I forgot is that I still had my cell phone in my pocket.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, and a friend of ours texts us. I send her a text back, and then I put it in my backpack, and I go out in the water with my friends. We're drinking out in the water. We're just hanging out, having fun for, you know, a couple hours out there, and passing around different bottles and just chatting. And it was epic. And at some point, they're like, what's going on? And we saw bandits jacking our shit.
What did the bandits look like? Did they have something over their face?
It was so
at all?
Dark at oh. that time. It was so dark, it's impossible to tell. But
and you don't even think about chasing them. Did you chase the bandits?
The girls went running.
Oh, shit.
The girls went running after them, and me and the dudes were like, hey, we don't have anything valuable, so fuck it. Might as well, you know, take it.
The backpack booze.
Yeah, we didn't care.
But your phone was in there, huh?
I forgot my phone was in there. So,
oh, Jesus.
I lost my phone, so... Now I have a new phone, and that's another reason why we had kind of a delay on getting set up is because I lost so much stuff, like research material and notes and clips.
That's the worst. And then you have to re-downloading all that shit, all your apps. Yeah,
that was the worst. I had so much research on that thing.
Damn it.
It's all right. It's okay.
We lost our bartender's phone number. We were going to interview a bartender.
Oh, yeah. But I got it back.
Oh, you got it
I
back.
I got it back cool. now. Yeah, let me do a little... oh, and then I lost a credit card.
Yeah, because you got checked for the credit card at the bar.
Yeah.
Essentially what happened? The bartender stole your fucking credit card?
I believe.
Because he was a dick.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go through all the other little foldy credit card holder things.
So you got those little leather like credit card folder holder kind of things, yeah. right? He hands me my credit card back. I sign it. And then I forget to grab my card out. I tip well. I always tip very well. Give it back to him. And within a couple minutes, I realize I don't have my credit card. So I go back up there. I'm like, hey, I just tipped your ass a bunch. Yeah, I gave you guys my card back. And he looks at me very douchey. And there was a lot of douches in Miami. He looks at me back very douchey, and he's like, we don't got it. And I'm like, can you check your stuff? And he goes through a few of them super fast, isn't really even looking. He's like, nope, don't got it. And I'm like,
fucking dude.
I just got jacked, dude. Like, that's the kind of a lot of the atmosphere that I experienced. Like, I felt I was getting jacked a lot.
Like, fuck.
So I had a blast. There were super epic times, like some of the most epic times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also some like very shady stuff. That
what was like the best on. Like food and stuff that you had in Miami?
STK, a place called STK.
I know what that stands for?
Was insane. I assume it was like a steakhouse or something.
It was a steakhouse. Oh yeah, steak. Know. STK steak. I don't know.
Well, STK or there's this place Bayol we went to. Let me tell the Bayol story is probably more epic.
Yeah, because you always run into some funny, cool shit. Like the time you got the propane for that whiskey bar in Hollywood.
This is crazy. Right, so yeah. one of the girls we're with is friends with like a... We were told, yeah, they're pretty rich and they like to party it up. We're getting a
big... These are Miami socialites type?
Well, they have a house in Miami.
Okay.
And a condo. They have a condo in Miami. And so we're like, all right, sounds good. So they're like, okay, we have reservations at Biola at 9:45 or something like that. Okay, no problem. We'll be there. So we're all dressed up, our group. We meet them. Everybody's super nice.
It's called
cool.
Biola?
Yeah.
Kind of like Voila, but spelled differently? Kinda?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
Whatever. Just curious.
So we sit down. It's dinner. Him and his wife are starting to talk to us. And they're very nice. And then he's like, yeah, I do this. And he very much, like... is like carries himself well. He's like, oh no, yeah, you got it. You got to do this. The owner of this place, a good friend of mine, and you know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, I hear that you own a nutritional supplement company. And he's like, well, I own like 8 companies. This dude has like 8,000 employees. Like, he's like a big time dude.
And you're out to dinner with this
dude. Yeah. And I'm like, this is like, okay, so this is like a, like, this is like...
He's a whale.
I guess so. And so I'm like, oh, this is crazy. He's like, and then he's like, bottles of champagne. He starts spending like money. And I'm like, oh man, like, I feel like I need to pay him back. Like, I got to like buy him some shots back or something. So I buy him like a round of shots. He's like, what is this? I was like,
tequila.
It was a bartender's choice. It was like lemon drops. And this dude's like wanting like to drink some like... Dom Perignon, like super shit, right? And I'm like, oh snap, this is out of my league a little bit. So, but you know me, I just reset my mind, and I'm like, I'm always having a good time. Doesn't matter. So the music starts getting fucking loud, and this dude's like starts ordering like expensive shit. Girls are bringing out shit and sparklers, and this dude's like, ah, like he's like an epic kind of person, dude. he's throwing a yacht party in 2 days. He's like, they've got like, they're like telling me about traveling to San Tropez and all this shit. I'm like, I was like, I saw a manatee a couple days ago, and that thing was pretty crazy in the water. Like, I didn't have
beach
bandits. I felt like I didn't have that much interesting shit to say.
Yeah,
but
we were drinking booze out of our backpack.
Yeah, so it was pretty fucking crazy. And then, like the owner and him were like buddy and buddy. Like, it just sounded like this dude was crazy. And
do you like champagne?
I'm, I don't like it as much as
I'm not
like
a big fan of it.
I will tell you this. So I got kind of burnt out on like real materialistic people there.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing this and girls are like
into it.
Yeah! They're just and into it like crazy into it. When this dude buys a bottle and it comes out, like girls are like, yeah, like they got these crazy ass eyes. And I'm like, God, that's nuts. That almost seems a little nuts. He's like feeding off of that energy a little bit. He was a very nice guy, but for me personally, when we came home and we went to Yard House,
that's the spot,
and had some good food, good drinks, friendly bartenders, that was way, way better in my book.
Yeah, then I'm not a big club guy.
You can't.
We did
talk.
It one. I remember in Vegas one time, and like Nick. Get us a table at this club. It was at this new club at the time, whatever. I said, okay, yeah, whatever. I have never done that before. I just called them up. Hey, this is my name, blah, blah, blah. We got this many guys. We'd like to get a table at your place, blah, blah. Okay, and they tell you, this is how much money it costs, and we'll see you here. And just walk to the front of the line. And it just all felt so weird because we got the money. It was a group of guys. And walked up. There's a line. Walked right past all those people who were waiting to get in.
Yeah.
To this club, it's a big deal to them, but to me, I'm thinking, ah, it's a club. I don't give a fuck, you know. But
I don't ever like feeling like I'm above.
Yeah, and it was, I felt like a douche, dude. And I mean, this is a long time ago. I think this is when I was like 22 or 23, and some of our buddies and shit. And so I said, okay, write it this way. We gave him the money and write this way. Here's your bottle and all the little mixers and stuff like that. And we just sat there. I was like, we spent all this money to just sit here
because you can't hear anything.
Yeah, and it's like you're yelling at each other's ear. What's your name? Hi, my name's Zach. Blah, blah, blah. You want to go dancing?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it was. Just,
I think it's lame too. I'd rather go to like a cool gastro pub where you can talk, yeah. But there's still cool music, and there's great food, great drinks. That's a better experience for me. But it was an interesting experience because it was to the point where you could not hear somebody right next to you. Bam. Bam, bam.
And you're essentially dry fucking on the dance floor, right? Just,
it's not even a dance floor. Now, we're still at a dinner table. Oh, like, gotcha, it's gotcha. Like they.
But no, the food was bomb, right?
Food was bomb.
Did you get steaks?
I got my new thing is sea bass.
Sea bass, yeah.
Yeah.
So we got to go catch one, dude.
Yeah.
That's we can catch them right here.
I know.
And grill them ourselves. Miso glazed sea bass.
Dude. Ah, I know.
I've never caught a sea bass, dude, but I guess they fight and they're pretty fucking badass looking, dude.
Well, their meat's the.
It's the bomb.
Fish is the best.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's my favorite fish.
More than tuna?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Way, way more.
We got to go deep sea fishing, buddy.
Let's do it.
Okay. We'll take our old ladies.
Yeah.
She wants to go.
I'd like to go like in a big group, like get one of those like...
Oh, yeah. No, we will.
Cabin thing, you know, the sleepers.
You could charter a boat and go out for like a day. And then if you say you wanted to charter a boat, you get a discount. Like, your payment's a little less than everybody else's, but it's like $30. You get enough people, put in $30, and it's all your own friends, and, you know, everyone gets a chance to fish off the back of the boat, and you get to rotate and shit.
I'm definitely in on that. All right. Just have to get a freezer first.
Yeah.
We got to get a good freezer to freeze it. Yeah. So, but yeah, other than that, it was just, I mean, it was a ton of partying, and very expensive. Very expensive. I was a little kind of bummed out because I like the non-douchebag thing, you know?
And you like value, probably.
There's a lot of douchebags there.
Like fake tans and like just shirts like that have a bunch fake. Of print all over the whole shirt. Like
not
there's more
even
ink
that.
On the shirt than
I could
there is
care
shirt.
Less what you even wear. It's that there were people
bedazzled
like,
jeans.
Oh, excuse me. And people would seriously be like push you out of the way to get by you. And like
not polite people.
I mean, like severely douchebag. Like their shit is gone. They really think they're that important, you know? Like a lot, like, and not just a few of them. Like that was in style, you know. And I didn't like that. I can't vibe with that ever.
Like I know I bagged on Idaho a little bit earlier, but one thing I can say about that is everyone is super polite there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And like, what the, why not?
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to be nice to people.
Yeah. No, Miami's,
epic
we
douchey.
Did run into some cool people, but there was a lot of douchers, douchebaggers.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, what do you think, Nick? Should I, let me do a little teaser.
Yeah, let's do a little teaser for the next show, and then we'll wrap it up, I guess. I mean,
well, we didn't get a chance to get into the Soviet drug trade in America, but we're going to give you guys a little teaser, so that way you know that we're telling you.
So this would be kind of like the origin of the drug war, like
not the origin, but it is
the Soviets.
It's definitely a big part of it. It's a big part of it. So let me just read you guys an excerpt from a book that we're going to get into called Red Cocaine by Joseph Douglas. It's called Red Cocaine, The Drugging of America and the West. Okay? Why has Western civilization been degraded since the 1960s? And who is behind this phenomenon? The answer in brief is that the West has been the unknowing victim for the past several decades of a long-term Soviet-Chinese strategic intelligence operations using drugs as a means of procuring the progressive demoralization of Western society and a concomitant degradation of the gene pool, with youth the prime target of this satanic offensive. Communism, a form of devilish collectivist mania which consistently with all forms of mental aberration knows no rest, going round and round in circles, hence the revolution, cannot succeed on its own terms. From the outset of Lenin's world revolution, therefore, the Comintern sought special secret ways of undermining society. Using a methodology taught by Lenin and elaborated later by the founder of the Italian Communist Party, Antonio Gramsci. Gramsci argued that power is best attained in developed countries through a gradual process of radicalization of the cultural institutions, a process that would in turn transform the values and morals of the society. Gramsci believed that as society's morals were softened, so its political and economic foundation would be more easily smashed and reconstructed. Hence, it was necessary to infiltrate autonomous institutions, schools, media, churches, public interest groups, so as to transform the culture which determines the environment for political and economic policies.
Boom.
And then, let me just read a few quotes that they have in here that are fascinatingly supportive of that. Chou En-lai, in 1958.
What was that? Chou En-lai?
Chou En-lai of China.
Okay.
Said, "We will disarm the capitalists with the things they like to taste." Nikita Khrushchev said, "Deception and drugs are our first two strategic echelons in the war." Mario Estevez Gonzalez, who was a Cuban intelligence agent in 1981, said, "I was ordered to load up the United States with drugs." Antonio Farrakh, a high-level Nicaraguan official, in 1984 said, "Drugs are used as political weapons. The target was the youth." Drugs are considered to be the best way to destroy the United States. By undermining the will of American youth, the enemy is destroyed without firing one bullet. Major Juan Rodriguez, Cuban intelligence officer, citing and invoking Antonio Gramsci, Lavrente Beria, and Sun Tzu in a single sentence in 1988. And Sun Tzu was the ancient Chinese military deception strategist. And then one other point is that opium should be regarded as a powerful weapon. It has been employed by imperialists against us, and now we should use it against them. And that was Mao Tse-sung, and he deployed drugs against the Chinese population. So we're going to get into the opium wars and how the British attacked China in order to conquer them using drugs, and how currently America is being attacked by socialist nations using the drug war in order to degrade society. But That's what we're going to get into in the future ones.
It's going to get heavy.
It's going to get heavy. Nick, you got anything else?
I would just like to say I love the songs that we played on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We had the band Red, Gold, Green. We had Red City Radio, who I would recommend if they come through your town, I highly recommend seeing them live. I did mention that I had seen Red, Gold, Green live, and they were great live as well. But Red City Radio, I can't get enough of those guys, dude. I seen them open for Strung Out just last month, earlier this month at the House of Blues, which is tearing down. The House of Blues is on Sunset. They're tearing it down. And they were fucking great live.
We also had... Oh, go ahead.
But I just wanted to... I can't give enough love to Red City Radio because it was one of those bands, as soon as they started playing, I was like right there. I was like right in the very front. And I bought two of their albums right then and there, and I can't stop listening to them.
Yeah, they're very good. We also had Soja with Soja. Tear It Down. We had Revolution with Against the Grain. And we're going to end it out because we're getting into the Soviet drug war. We're going to end this thing out with Survivor and Burning Heart from Rocky IV.
And real quick, I just wanted to say, because we drank today's beers, we drank a Schwami's IPA. What'd you think about that?
Awesome.
Schwami's IPA is, it's named Schwami's because that's a surf break in San Diego, and it's made by Pizza Port Brewing. So if you ever find yourself in the San Diego area, and like I said, this is, we don't have sponsors, but I feel like I'm doing like a commercial because have yourself a good time. Go to Pizza Port in San Diego, and they have all these craft beers. They make their own beer. Schwami's IPA is bomb. And then we had Ballast Point Grapefruit IPA.
Which is awesome.
It's just delicious. It's a Sculpin. I think that's my favorite brewery right now, Ballast Point.
For sure.
Have you ever had a beer that was not...
I even had their Habanero Sculpin. It was bomb.
Dude, I haven't pulled the trigger on that one yet.
Yeah.
It's but amazing. Anyways, I don't know. I like to talk about the beers that we drink on the show.
I think it's good.
But I like to support the craft beer movement. I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you enjoy more than a good craft beer?
Nope.
Maybe a blowjob.
That's about it.
But Matt, thanks for having me on the show. It's good to be back.
We got to keep doing this.
We're gonna be doing a show
more
a week.
Often.
Sorry, Matt was on vacation. I was moving, and just shit was just too busy for us to get together and get a show. We couldn't get our. We just get together. So, yeah. But now we're back. We're on.
But, and next week, we're going to get back into the Soviet drug offensive against the United States. We love you guys. Beacon Podcast, signing off. Peace. for those of you that are still listening, we're going to give you a little prize. Nick, what's the meaning of life? In the burning heart, just about to burn.
Be a good person.
Love you guys. In the darkest night, rising like a spire. In the burning heart, the unmistakable fire. In the burning heart, just about to burst. There's a quest for answers and a quench of the thirst. In the darkest night, rising like a spire. In the burning heart, the unmistakable fire.
Study, ladies and gentlemen, of mind control and psychological warfare. It is not enough to simply review the latest technology of coercion, the most recent gadgetry and techno junk littering the hardware and supply depots of governments and so-called cults. You see, far more dangerous than these appliances is the praxis behind them. Ages old. The underground current which informs the modern project and this modern era. You see, for life in our modern era is little more than life in an open-air mind control laboratory where a form of human alchemy has emerged to transform the mass of targeted percipients, the lead, targeted merely by virtue of their being urban dwellers plugged into the electronic and digital pageantry of the establishment's system of things. Human zombie gold to those who practice this ancient science that is never meant what any of you ever thought. I've heard so many people ridicule alchemy as being absolutely impossible to transform base elements. But you see, that's not what it was ever about. Not ever. In those days, the church and kings ruled with an iron hand, and anyone who did anything that was not politically correct or religiously correct were swiftly and most terribly punished. So they disguised their true intent and their true teachings, the esoteric, with a system of exoteric descriptions. But to the profane would mean one thing, and to the initiate or the adept would mean quite another.